Superior Fellowship as we do a wrap up, verses 1 and 2, chapter 4, where verse 2, Peter brings out that the effect of the ability to be under undeserved suffering, refraining from sin, disregard, is for the purpose of having a successful phase 2, so as to live the rest of the time in the flesh, no longer for the lust of men, but for the will of God. And the lust of men and the will of God are in contrast to one another. You know, and these are two available avenues of approach that the believer can avail themselves of living the Christian life. We are not to fall in line with our negative counterpart, unbelieving counterparts in this respect. As brought out by the term lust of men. That plural term obviously indicates any aspect of lust, which is an unrighteous desire for something that obviously that is not legitimate in this respect. And that can include and bring in anything, obviously, that is not in line with the singular of God's directive will, whereas plural and singular are therefore contrasted this respect. And point 98 here, page 6 for our notes, that there is one path of righteousness, this Bible doctrine of the filling of the Holy Spirit, and a plethora of erroneous alternatives. Matthew 7:13-14, noting why it is the path of least expression. Narrow is truly the path of righteousness, fulfilling God's plan for one's life. So 99, we have no obligation to the indwelling lust pattern, or STA, no matter the peer pressure put upon us. Romans 8:12. All proclaimed so dear brothers. We are under obligation not to the flesh, to live according to the flesh. That is not our obligation. Anyone, anything that demands that you violate Bible doctrine, an application of it, you engage in personal sin, follow the STA and its trends, you have a higher authority to force appeal to. No matter what repercussions one might otherwise face in this respect. We're never under obligations of the sin nature in this respect. But we're under obligation to our new rulership of life. That's God the Holy Spirit. For if you are living according to the flesh, you must die. That looks at, obviously, temporal death. That if not prescribed appropriately with this antidote, will lead the sin unto death. If by the Spirit you are put in death, the deeds of the body, you will live. That looks at spiritual life in time, which will obviously manifest itself in vindication for us in phase 3. For all who are being led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. That's the evidence. The evidence of application of Bible doctrine, a sound doctrine, is evidence of one who's in fellowship, obviously, in their Christian life, the evidence of being believers. Some people, you'd never know whether they're believers or not, the way they live their lives. 100, while we must live in our temporary homes of lustful flesh, we do not have to let it rule our lives. Again, you could have two potential rulers as believers. It's either God the Holy Spirit under His filling ministry, or our sin nature. And to redeem the time, we must obviously get in fellowship and refuse and deny the flesh and its salvations. The maximum of our capability and resolve, mental resolve, we can put forth in our Christian life. 101, again, this is made possible by Christ's suffering in the flesh. And going to the cross, this unique work on the cross, makes it possible for us to deal now, not only positionally, but experientially, in regards to overruling the sin nature, and allowing that, the spiritual entity or human spirit, function appropriately according to his divine design. In righteousness, in the sphere of righteousness and holiness and truth. So 102, rather, we are to follow the signpost that directs us to the will of God. God's directed will, one learns it, lines up with it, plugs in with it. 103, it is the filling of the Holy Spirit that leads, reveals, and directs us in this matter. Importance of being in fellowship again, Christ, who asks on behalf of believers for the Holy Spirit in regards to this dispensation. You don't have to pray for the Holy Spirit. He indwells all believers. He feels or doesn't feel you based on personal sin in life or rebound. And one of the primary ministries of the Holy Spirit is to lead us, guide us into what God's directed will is, what God wants us to think, say, and do. John 16:13. But when He, the Spirit of truth, comes, He will guide you into all the truth. Hence the importance of being in fellowship when you are assimilating Bible doctrine. For He will not speak on His own initiative, as He speaks, obviously, through the appropriate communicator who is also in fellowship through the truth of Bible doctrine. Truth comes out, no matter who it may vibrate otherwise. And it's not any personal hidden agenda. We're not about that. We're about, this is the Bible, this is what it teaches, you need to take it or leave it. See, we would prefer and we would exhort strongly that you take it, because that's what provides the maximum in regards to life, both now and the life to come. And He will not speak on His own initiative, but whatever He hears, He will speak. He will disclose to you what is to come. That obviously through the function of spiritual gifts, temporary gifts, gifts of prophecy, things of this nature, as well as the written canon of Scripture, New Testament. So 104, the quote, will of God, end quote, is a praise through the study of the Word of God. It's how we learn what the will of God is, what's appropriate, what's right, what's wrong, in regards to the function of our own individual priesthood, as well as the church corporately. 105, it includes doing right. 1 Peter 2:14, for such is the will of God, that by doing right, there at that instance, you may silence the ignorance of foolish men. So it includes doing right, resulting in undeserved suffering for our efforts. Our efforts to apply Bible doctrine, to do God's will in life, results in undeserved suffering rather than deserved suffering that one would otherwise experience. 1 Peter 4:19, therefore let those also who suffer according to the will of God. See, we're dealing with undeserved suffering here. It's according to the will of God. Entrust their souls to a faithful Creator doing what is right. And obviously faith rest is empirical in regards to one having the kind of resolve necessary to maximize their own vindication in their faith through the edge. Alright. Next verse. 3. Title this verse, Mental Resolve Demands Proper Focus. Here, for the time already passed is sufficient. If you have the conjunction gar here, it's generally is explanatory, but here it's best used as conclusive. G-A-R. For the time, and the issue is time. See, redeeming the time. And other aspects as time applies to us. And here, in regards to the time that we're to consider as behind us. They're not part of our goal and focus today. Time is our noun, chronos, C-H-R-O-N-O-S. For the time already passed. Already passed is a definite article here with a participle, and the definite article governs both participle and noun. It's perfect, active, nonning, masculine, singular, participle, whole, par, erchomai. E-A-R-E-C-H-O-M-A-I. Time having passed by or already passed is sufficient. Is sufficient is a predicate adjective, nominative, masculine, singular, archetos, A-R-K-E-T-O-S. Archetos. It's used three times. That means sufficient or enough. It's here in Matthew 6:34, 10:25, which we'll look at. For you to have carried out the desire of the Gentiles. To have carried out is infinitive of purpose here. Perfect opponent, infinitive. Yeah, perfect, the preceding participle. The compound verb here, katar, gazomai. K-A-T-E-R-G-A-Z-O-M-A-I. Katar, gazomai. That means to have accomplished, performed, carried out the desire or will. Desire or will here is the noun of the definite article, accusative, neuter, singular, toe, ulema. B-O-U-L-E-M-A. Used three times here, Acts 27:43 and Romans 9:19. Of the nations. Of the nations is the noun of the definite article, toe, ethnos. Nations, Gentiles, translated often Gentiles, E-T-H-O-S. Under a biblical perspective, anything outside the nation Israel is considered to be Gentile. God looks at the world either a Jewish race or a Gentile race. For you that carried out desires of the Gentiles, having pursued a course of this is a list of STA vices here. Having pursued a course is our third part, our second part of the here, third perfect tense that we have. Circumstantial participle, perfect opponent, paruomai. P-A-O-R-E-U-O-M-A-I. Paruomai. Having had gone the way or pursued a course. Here in the sphere of, literally, translated of, the New American, get the preposition in, followed with the locative case of all these particular nouns and adjectives that will follow. That first one is the locative feminine plural of the noun translated sensuality. That should be sensualities in the plural. Asa, agia. A-S-E. L-G-E-I-A. That's the idea. Sensualities, lasciviousness, obviously sexual is the impetus behind this particular noun. It's used 10 times. Our next noun in all these locky cases in the plural are noun for lust that we've seen already. Epithumia, E-P-I. H-U-N-I-A. Saw verse 2, also back 1:14-11. Plus, next one is drunkenness. Excessive drinkings, literally. Locking fit in the plural of the noun. Boy, no. Lugia. O-I-N-O-P-H-L-U-G-I-A. buenas, wine, excessive drinking. It's a hop, hop's only used once here. Our next noun here, carousals, locative masculine plural of koimos, komos, K-O-M-O-S. Used three times here, Romans 13, 13, Galatians 5, 21. Drinking parties. Here is actually drunken feasts, with the better translation. It's the noun, locative masculine plural of totos. O-T-O-S, used one time. Drinking parties, and it connects all this to our final one with connected chi, abominable adulterers. Our adjective here, abominable, translated is ethymitos, athemitos, A-T-H-E-M-I-T-O-S. Means metaphorically forbidden, disgusting, abominable. Literally means false. Used two times here, Acts 10, 28. And then our noun for idolatries. Used four times here, again in the plural. Locative feminine plural is idolatria. E-I-D-O. L-O-L-A-T-R-I-A. Used here, 1 Corinthians 10, 14, Galatians 5, 20, Colossians 2, 5. For the time already passed is enough for you to have carried out the desire of the Gentiles, having pursued the course of sensuality, the sphere of sensuality, lust, drunkenness, carousals, drinking parties, and abominable idolatries. All right, analysis verse 3. 1. The elk being conjunction for garb in the Greek is best classified here as conclusive. 2. It has a force of an added necessity behind Peter's main thought of the believer being armed with the need to resolve back in verse 1. 3. That resolve, as it relates to overruling the STA and pursuing God's will otherwise, for a successful phase 2, as he brought out in verse 2. So 4. The conjunction here brings to bear another conclusive thought, whereas verse 1 began the conclusion for the therefore. So it brings to bear another conclusive thought that, if not heeded, will impede the aforementioned goal. So this is another conclusion. Peter here in this area, these verses strings together a series of conclusions that believers must adhere to in regards to manifesting true positive volition as he so defines it. And if one does not recognize the importance of this verse, they will find their goal aloof from them in regard to doing the will of God versus the lesson. So 5, the opening clause here could be translated. The fact is, time already passed is sufficient for you, understood, to have carried out the desire of the Gentiles. So 6, Peter now contrasts these believers' present obligation for resolve to secure victory over the SCA in the, quote, remaining time in the flesh, as is stated in verse 2, quote, to their pre-salvation past. So he now is looking at their life, divided in regard to point in time forward, compared back to their pre-salvation days. 7, specifically as a period of time that he concludes was sufficient to have carried out the desire of the Gentiles. Eight, his reasoning further concludes that in order for believers to have the proper resolve for successful phase 2, they have further necessity must adopt the right focus in life. If time passed was more than sufficient, then obviously her focus is not there, it's elsewhere, is it not? So Peter is dealing with one's focus in life, in the Christian life, in order to sustain and feed quality volition of keeping, with the intent and goal of keeping the SCA overruled and maximizing their vindication in time. So 9, in his fame, Peter views the Christian life as divided into two time periods. A pre-salvation period, in which a believer has had ample time to experience the ignoble things of the cosmos. Ignoble means shameful, things that are not worthy, obviously, truly of embracing. And B, the other aspect of time is their new spiritual heritage of royalty as a holy nation under a standard of righteousness, which Christ pursued on our behalf, so we could pursue it in our own Christian lives. And that was 2:9-10, in regard to how Peter perceives these believers as a new race, as a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, holy emphasizing plus R, a people for God's own possession, that you may proclaim the excellencies of Him who has called you out of darkness into His marvelous light. The light of truth of Bible doctrine that evidences righteousness. So 10, so Peter is here viewing the Christian life in regards to pre-salvation days where we had ample time to experience the shameful things of life versus our new spiritual condition and new spiritual disposition. So 10, a finality now that Peter expects believers to view their evil past is then brought out by these three perfects that we saw in this verse. A, the first perfect participle of already past, which a perfect participle is very strong in regards to the situation ending completely, having already passed with existing results. B, then is followed with the perfect affinity to have carried out their what one is carrying out, the desires of the flesh. Then C, a second perfect participle, having pursued a course in the sphere of all the SCA vices that he then lists after the fact. So these perfect tenses here in this verse emphasizes the finality that Peter expects his readers to view their pre-salvation day experience in contrast to their present experience as believers. So 11, the perfect tenses recognize the life-altering reality of conversion, faith in Christ, saving faith, phase 1, and its eternal consequences, transitioning from spiritual death to spiritual life. When we became believers, we became literally new creatures. We went from being dichotomous, body and soul, to trichotomous, with a human spirit in addition to it. And obviously, it has eternal and everlasting conditions and results that are attached to our saving faith. And we transform from walking around being spiritually dead to now having a new spiritual life, or the entity of which we are to operate, and the reason why we're given it, in regards to now being a Christian. Romans 6:23. For the wages of sin is death. The free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. You know, in our pre-salvation existence under spiritual death, which leads to eternal death. 8:2. For the law of the spirit of life in Christ Jesus has set you free from the law of sin and of death. Again, recognizing the power of Christ's work on the cross in relationship to sin nature and its hold over mankind under spiritual death. Then Ephesians 2, 1 through 7. And you were dead in your trespasses and sins. Death there, obviously, is spiritual death. Not physical, it's spiritual. Sin being just a mark. Based on a false steps. Erroneous steps and out of line with Bible doctrine here called trespasses. So you stepped out of bounds. You trespassed. In which you formerly walked. This was our whole manner of life in our pre-salvation days. I don't care how righteous and pious one may be otherwise. Spiritually dead, you can be the most holy man on this planet, morally or otherwise, in that respect. You're still spiritually dead. In which you form in that under spiritual death, we're completely, totally ruled by the sin nature. We have no alternative ruler in our life until we make the proper choice to serve God. In which you formerly walked according to the course of this world. The cosmos provides this avenue of thinking and actions that are in contrast, in opposition to God's plan. According to the prince of the power of the air. That's Satan's the one that obviously promotes all the human viewpoint evil that men adhere to. The spirit that is now working in the sons of disobedience, those who remain negative and antagonistic to the truth of Bible doctrine. Among them, we too all formerly live in the lust of our flesh under complete capitulation and rulership of sin nature, indulging the desires of the flesh and of the mind. Brain computer is part of our STA makeup. Our human viewpoint reasoning originates there. See? Indulging in the desires of the flesh and the mind, and we're by nature children of wrath. Our nature is the old sin nature, the natural man, the STA. Even as the rest, as the same as every other unbeliever. All unbelievers are in the same barrel in this regard. God being rich in mercy, because of his great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in our transgressions, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved. Christ was the one that provides spiritual life, conquering spiritual death through his work on the cross. And destroying the power and rulership, absolute rulership of the sin nature under the auspices of spiritual death. See? And raised us up with him and seated us with him in the heavenlies in Christ Jesus. The reason why, in order that in the ages to come he might show the surpassing riches of his grace and kindness towards us in Christ Jesus. So the perfect tenses here recognize the life-altering reality of conversion and its eternal consequences transitioning from spiritual death to spiritual life. 12, the adjectives sufficient are heptos. Is used in irony as an understatement. As an understatement. 13, the quote, enough, synonym there, end quote, is actually more than enough. And has the idea of ill advice to increase the situation at hand, as brought out in its other two uses in Matthew 6:34 and 10:25. Out the aspect of something being all sufficient and ill advised to try to press it beyond the fact, beyond that fact. See, Matthew 6:34. Where it's used there. Therefore, do not be anxious for tomorrow, for tomorrow will care for itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. Don't get into your STA and run out looking for trouble. See, it's ill-advised. You'll have enough testing just trying to stay in fellowship and feel the undeserved suffering in your life. See? So there's your sense, there's your nuance. Also, it's used in 1025. In regards to authorities, masters and teachers, with respect to those under authority, it is enough for the disciple that he become as his teacher. It's ill-advised to get under arrogance and think that you can pass up the one that God has sent to teach you doctrine, and all of a sudden now you know more than he does. And people get under that kind of arrogance. See? And the slave as his master. It's enough to reach that level. Obviously, he's dealing with the teacher and the slave being adjusted in this respect. Could they have called the head of the house of Beelzebub? How much more of the members of his household? And how much more people do you want to get in that? That's all it lies. So there's your sense. There's your nuance. Here, what Peter means by sufficient. So 13 again, enough is actually more than enough, and has the idea of ill advice to increase the situation the hand is brought out by in its other two uses. Matthew 6:34, 10:25. 14, now the noun desire, dilemma, echoes the lust of men. The lust of men are their desires. In verse 2, it is in opposition to the will of God. 15, now this noun suggests a strong propensity or willful drive to an activity. As noted in its other two uses in Acts 27:43 and Romans 9:19. Acts 27:43. Translated here, there, wanting. Is the same term, dilemma, strong desire in regard to the centurion put in charge of Paul. Obviously, Roman guards, when they were given an order, they understood the importance of carrying out of it. And his order in regards to Paul was to make sure he's taken to the proper place of destination. And anybody that has anything that goes against that, you know, and if he disobeyed that order, it could cost his life. So here you have the emphasis here of our term balut, dilemma, but the centurion wanting, that's our term there, wanting, a strong desire to bring Paul safely through, kept him from their intention of having everybody jump over the side and for safety on a ship that's in a storm. Commanded that those who could swim should jump overboard first and get to land. They were going to kill the prisoners, but in that vein, and the centurion said, I'm under orders here. You know, it cost me my life because of your stupidity, that kind of deal. So that's strong desire. In Romans 9:19, there's other use. Another scenario in regards to, we're going to have to observe the Lord's table, so that gives me a chance. I'll check this and give you a live verse. So we'll go ahead and stop here and get set up for observing the Lord's table. Thank you. Lord's command to keep on observing this ritual. This local church observes it every other month in regards to our church history. The ritual itself is one of two rituals that are ordained for believers to engage in the church age. This one being repetitive, as I've just brought out, the other being water baptism, which is only performed once in regards to Christian life. The Lord's table, or the Eucharist, which is formally called, means to have thanksgiving or to give thanks. It is a time in which believers and their assembly together are to take and set apart to reflect upon in thanksgiving the personal work of Jesus Christ and what it means to them in regards to their own salvation. You're going to have to be a member of the church to engage in the ritual, but you do need to be a believer so that the ritual has reality attached to it. And there are two elements and two actions that are associated with the ritual itself. You have the bread and the cup, which emphasizes the person of Jesus Christ in his humanity. And then you have the eating and drinking, which recognizes the individual who partakes of these elements of exercise and faith in his person in regards to their salvation. And Paul further makes clear that in regards to observance of the Lord's table, it's imperative that each and every one of us judge ourselves rightly so that we will not be judged. Make sure that you're in fellowship. So just as we have been dealing with, and Peter has been bringing out, the work of Christ, Christ's work on the cross, is not in vain in regards to our faith too, but is used for the very specific reason of being filled with God the Holy Spirit and being in the state of God's righteousness as so designed in this respect. So before you partake of the elements, it behooves each and every one of you to make sure that indeed you're in fellowship. It is our custom for all hold the bread until all have been served. Sinless and maintaining perfect resolve and willful determination, successfully submitted to God's will in regard to going across so that the sins, first and foremost, obviously, could be judged in his person to provide us with our salvation. And on the same night that he was betrayed, he broke the bread. And having given thanks, he said, "This is my body, which is given for you. Take, eat, in remembrance of me." Father, again, we thank you for what you have provided through your Son, Jesus Christ, in regard to our salvation. Victory, the tactical, strategical victory in regard to our sin nature, so that we can indeed have a relationship with you under the principle of grace and fulfill your plan for our lives. Bless us in our continued concentration as we continue to observe this ritual and partake of the next element in Jesus' name. Amen. It's further our custom to hold the cup until all of this. That you hold as the other piece of Christ's work on the cross. And complement to bread, which emphasizes his body being the target of God's wrath for judgment of sins, the cup itself represents the payment and emphasizes the payment of his absolute righteousness that he gave on behalf of man, redeeming them from the slave market of sin and disrespect. How this occurred with regards to his spiritual death that he underwent and experienced while he was on the cross. Jesus Christ went to the cross at 9 o'clock in the morning. He was on the cross for 6 hours till 3 that afternoon. But not the entire time that he was on the cross was he being judged for sins. That event did not occur until noon when the earth became dark to give Christ his privacy. And at that time, God simultaneously started judging his body in wrath regard the sins of mankind. Christ died spiritually and offered up the token of plus R in the form or entity of his human spirit, or R minus R, that he was at the same time taking the penalty and the wrath and the judgment, the pain that we so rightly deserved otherwise. And in this way, Jesus Christ, in the 3 hours there, when he proclaimed that, my Father, why have you forsaken me, he is recognizing that fellowship had been broken, that his humanity was there, bearing the sins of mankind, and the deity was, if you will, rejecting him in this respect because of the sin aspect involved. And when he claimed it was finished, the finishing was the work of sin-bearing as occurred. His human spirit, as we know, was returned back to his body. And Jesus Christ, as part of the perks, if you will, regards to being successful Messiah, was able, through his deity, to check out his humanity. And we know, within less than 72 hours, he was vindicated. And likewise, after he had eaten, he took the cup, and having given thanks, said, "This cup which is poured out for you is a new covenant in my blood. Drink from it, all of you." Father, Father, we ask you to bless each and every one of us in our own spiritual matriculation, advancing the Christian life, to maintain our right focus in regards to your will for our life, and not allow the SCA to interfere in regards to our pursuit of fulfilling your plan for our lives. Bring us back to this Bible class safe and sound in Jesus' name.